I want to preach this morning on a sermon I've entitled The Man in the Mirror. And you may remember an old Michael Jackson song, and the words were, "I'm looking at the man in the mirror, I'm asking him to change his ways." We are very good as human beings at looking at the faults in everybody else and everything else. We're very good at seeing all of the problems that we see in life and blaming other people. We love a scapegoat, don't we? We love to blame our problems on everything and anything but ourselves. And we're very good at seeing other people's faults and mistakes. We're very good at criticising others and other people's attitudes and failures and dissing them. And quite frankly, we're quite happy to sit as judge and jury of everybody else. But often the one person that we fail to judge so often is simply ourselves. And if you want to change others or change the things around you, the best place to do that or to start doing that is to change yourself. It's been said that kingdoms will not change unless men change. And that change has to begin in us. Politicians are very good at using the word change. Vote for change, whatever that means. But in truth, if we and people don't change inwardly, then any outward changes that we make are just merely just window dressing. God has called us to change in the inner man, hasn't he? In the Bible, it speaks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. It speaks about us being made as new creations in Christ, to be formed into the image of Christ Jesus. We're called this morning to be transformed. We're called to change, to be renewed in our minds and hearts. But before we can indeed change, we have to know what's required for us to be changed. Because unless you can see the things that are wrong about you, you're never going to be able to change anything. Thankfully, this morning we've got some help with this, because, you know, we're not very good at doing it on our own, are we? But God has given us the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures. And one of the names of the Holy Spirit is the Helper. And it tells us in the Bible that when he comes to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And one of the ways that he helps us in our spiritual life is by showing us the things in our life that need to change, by convicting us, and the things that aren't right with God that need to change. He brings light, doesn't he, to those hidden places of darkness that we all have in our lives, in our hearts and minds, things that we're often completely ignorant of or oblivious to or too blind to see. But you and I, we're called in the Scriptures to examine ourselves before we examine anybody else, to pick out the plank out of our own eye before we look at the speck in our brother's eye. To do this, it's going to take us a couple of things. It's going to take honesty and humility, being willing to admit when we're wrong before God, being willing to face up to the real us, not the us that we like to portray ourselves as before the world. We're very good, aren't we, at seeing ourselves only in the best light. We're very good at putting ourselves on some kind of pedestal of our own making. And we're also very good in seeing the faults and failures, as we said, in others. But what we do find it difficult to see is the faults within ourselves. But God has called us to examine ourselves. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test?" So what the Scripture's telling us here is that we've got to examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. Are we living as God has called us to live? Is our heart following Christ? Are we acting out of faith, or are we just merely giving lip service to God? In James chapter 1 and verse 22, it says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. If anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. And what James is saying here, it's not enough for us just to listen to the word. Because if you just listen to the word, what you're actually doing is just deceiving yourself. He says, do what it says. We have to do what it says. He who listens to the word but does not do what it says, he says he's like someone looking in a mirror at themselves, but then going away and immediately forgetting what they look like. In other words, when we read the word of God and it convicts us about something in our lives that needs to change, something we're either doing or not doing that needs change, don't just nod your head. He's saying, actually, do what God is telling you. Change. Go to God in repentance. Go to God in humility. Let your will be aligned to God's will. And that's faith, isn't it? Yeah. Putting the word of God into practice. Saying, yeah, God show me it, I'm going to do it. It tells us that the word of God is like a mirror. You know, we mentioned that song, I'm looking at the man in the mirror, asking him to change his ways. When we look in the mirror of the word of God, God shows us things in us that need to change. The word of God is a discerner, isn't it, of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It shows us things about ourselves that need to change. But it's going to take an alignment of our will if we're going to change. We have to be willing to change. It's going to take honesty. It's going to take grace and mercy, because we can't do it of ourselves, can we? And if we could do it of ourselves, we wouldn't need Christ. It's going to take his power working in us and through us. But unless you and I are willing to bend the knee to Jesus Christ, unless we're willing to cooperate with God's Spirit and willing to step out in faith and act upon what God's shown us, then we'll never change. We'll still be the same old us, going round those same old circles with the same old problems year after year, stuck in a treadmill of what is basically religion. Verse 25, it says there, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. See, we're not speaking this morning here about legalism. We're not going back to the old covenant. That's not what it's saying. It's saying, whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, the law of Christ. God is not a lawless God. When the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us, we submit to his perfect law of liberty in our heart. And that law brings freedom. That law gives us liberty. We're not speaking about being under the old covenant law of Moses. Don't mix up the words. It says the perfect law that gives freedom. The perfect law gives freedom. The law of Christ, which is written on our hearts, which is engraved on tablets of flesh, not on tablets of stone. Love one another. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. That's the perfect law of freedom, isn't it? As we put that perfect word of God in practice through the empowerment of his Spirit, the Bible tells us we're going to be blessed in what we do. Do we want to be blessed this morning?
Yes.
Well, let's do what the word of God says. Don't merely listen to it, but do what it says. See, if we're just merely listening to it, nodding the head to it, then we're actually deceiving ourselves, it tells us. But, you know, when you face the mirror of the word of God and God challenges you to change, we have to be willing. We're willing to submit, let his Spirit work in us. Be willing to examine ourselves in the light of scriptures and not compare ourselves just with others. That's foolish, isn't it? Comparing yourself with others. Because there's always going to be other Christians who know more than you do, who are better in some areas than you are. There's always going to be other Christians who appear, at least outwardly, to be living perfect lives compared to you. But we must compare ourselves against the word of God. Each one of us this morning will give account for his own work. And, if we're honest this morning, when we compare ourselves against God's standard, against the perfect word of God, we all fall far short, don't we, of the glory of God. But that's why we need Christ.
Yes.
When God brings things to our attention, you know, and he does do that, doesn't he?
He does.
He doesn't just do it all at once, thank God, when we first get saved. Otherwise, we'd have just given up at the first hurdle. But as we progress through the Christian life, bit by bit, the Lord reveals more and more to us, both about himself and who he is, and also about the things in us that need to change. You know, we're in this process, aren't we? It's called sanctification. This process of change within us, so that we can hopefully become more and more like him, so that we can be renewed day by day in the inner man, so that we can go on towards perfection. And we're not there yet, are we? We haven't yet attained. We're being perfected if we allow God to continue to work in us. If we just want to play religious games and have our head filled with Bible knowledge, you know, we're never going to change. If we're just living the way we want to live and being the old, obnoxious, selfish people that we are, then, you know, and not allow the Spirit of God to work in us, then we're never going to change. We're not going to be transformed. We're just giving God basically lip service. But we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We have to be renewed in the inner man, the way we think, the way we speak, the way we act, the things we do, the things that we don't do, in the intentions and the thoughts of our heart. We need a full transformation, don't we? So that our intentions are pure and holy and good, and the thoughts of our hearts are on the things of God. That we act upon those thoughts, that we act upon those intentions by practicing the Word of God, that we see ourselves as we really are in the truth, that we don't delude ourselves into thinking that we're something when we're nothing. Let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall, it tells us. It warns us in Scripture. And it exhorts us to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith, that we, and tells us we need to be doers of the Word, not just hearers only. See, God knows what's best for you and I. He knows what needs to take place in our lives for us to overcome in this life. And we're called this morning to be overcomers, to overcome the flesh, to overcome the world and the devil. But you can only do that as you apply the Word of God to your life. Our hearts need changing, our minds need changing. And, you know, it seems so often we just when we think we're getting a grip on that, on our lives, God shows us something more, doesn't he? That, and you realise I'm actually further away than I thought I was. And the more we go on in our Christian life, the further away we feel sometimes. We thought we were doing all right, and now, Lord, you're showing me this. And sometimes I just feel like I'm still at the bottom of the mountain. But you know what? God's only showing us these things because he's doing a work in us thoroughly. He wants to complete a work in us. He wants to bring us to perfection. He doesn't just want people that go through the motions, that play the hypocrite. He wants lives to be changed. The most dangerous deception is self-deception. And it's very difficult to help anyone who's self-deceived. Jesus said, many will come to me on that day saying, Lord, Lord, did we not do this? Did we not do that? And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. They were deceived. They thought they were going to heaven. But in reality, they'd deceived themselves. They'd been blinded by their own self-deception. These are those that look at their face in the mirror and forget what manner of man they were immediately. They don't respond to conviction. They don't respond when God prompts them. They carry on in the way that they are. They don't want to change. They don't want to commit to God or to be accountable. But if you're going to live the Christian life, then change is always going to be part of it. And sometimes it's a bit worrying when life goes nice and smooth, isn't it? Because you just, if you're like me, you expect, when's the next thing going to come along? And it often does, doesn't it? You know, but the key to all of this is keeping an open heart before God, keeping a willing heart before God, keeping a humble heart before God. Because the minute you and I get above our station, the minute we start to think somehow we've made it, or somehow, you know, that we're more than we think we are, we can become hardened and blind to the truth. We need to keep our heart humble before God. Our cry needs to be, search my heart, O God. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, Lord, look inside my heart, and if I'm going down a wrong path, please, Lord, show me. We need God to search our heart. We need God to show us the truth about ourselves. And at that point, when he does, we have to make a choice. You know, are we going to listen? Are we going to obey? Or are we just going to ignore it and refuse to listen to it and carry on in the way that we were? But that's a dangerous place, isn't it? Because God will just keep bringing us back to that issue or whatever it is until we either respond or we just become more hardened. The answer, of course, is that it's 1 Corinthians 11:31. It says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened or disciplined by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." This is really the key to changing as a Christian. When God shows us things about ourselves, we need to judge ourselves. That's the right response, to judge ourselves. And if we're guilty, we need to admit to it. We need to let God examine us. If we're guilty, we need to repent and humble ourselves and change. And it says, then we would not be judged. So that's the right response. But when we make a wrong response and we ignore God and we don't let him change us, then we're into verse 32 then, aren't we? Then we get judged or disciplined by God. It says, when we are judged, we are disciplined or chastened by the Lord. God then has to make things a little bit harder for us, because he's not going to let us get away with not changing. Why? Because he loves us. And he'll discipline us and he'll chasten us. And that sometimes means we're going to have to go through some trials, some difficulties. We go through God's chastisement in our life. And it's not always a nice thing, is it, being chastened? It actually tells us in the Bible it's grievous. It's painful. But it says that those that have been disciplined by God, as we respond to that discipline in the right way, it brings the peaceable fruits of righteousness. And it tells us in verse 32 that we may not be condemned with the world. In other words, God is allowing this discipline in our life, these difficulties to come our way, so in order that you don't get condemned with the world. He doesn't want to send you to hell. He doesn't want to destroy you. God wants to save you. The Son of Man, it says, has come to save men's lives, not to destroy men's lives. God's heart is to save. God's heart is to redeem. God's heart is to bring us to salvation. He wants to bring us to our senses. That's why it's better for us that we examine ourselves and judge ourselves so that we don't get judged. But we don't always do that, do we? Sometimes we can be stubborn and we carry on in our own way. And that's when God has to step in and say, you know, you're not listening to me. I'm going to have to discipline you. But we see, we have to judge ourselves in the light of Scripture, the Word of God. That's our foundation, isn't it? That's our reference point. That's our moral compass. That's the standard that we measure ourselves against. That's the mirror that we need to see ourselves in. That shows us a true reflection of who we actually are. Not comparing ourselves with each other or with men's opinions or our own opinions, but comparing ourselves with the Word of God. That's how we should examine ourselves. And, you know, we're not going to be perfect yet, are we? But we're being perfected. We haven't yet attained, but that's our aim, isn't it? To become more like him, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, to overcome sin, the world, the flesh and the devil, to be sanctified in body, mind and spirit, to be pleasing to God, to be partakers of the divine nature. But we're not going to attain anything if we're not willing to examine ourselves in the light of Scripture. Or if we're not willing for God to correct us, to rebuke us, to exhort us, to discipline us, to transform us, change us, shape us or mould us. Our aim should be to become more Christ-like, to let God change us in the inner man day by day. But we're not going to be renewed if we don't face the truth about ourselves. Unless we're willing to be humbled by God and face up to who we really are in the light of Scripture. You know what? Some things about us aren't nice. And I find as we go on in the Christian life, we discover more of the unpleasantness and the hypocrisy in our own hearts than we realise are there. It's not always a nice thing to see, is it? To see the evil within yourself. It's a horrible thing to have to face up to what's in your own heart, within your own mind. That there's evil there. And it's a strong word, isn't it, evil? But let's call it what it is. All that is not pleasing to God is actually evil, by definition. All that does not proceed from faith is sin. And when you discover it within yourself, within your own heart and mind, there's only one thing to do, and that's to get rid of it by sweeping it out, like the leaven out of the house. Rid ourselves of sin and hypocrisy, and we do that by allowing God to change us by the power of his Spirit, by being cleansed and renewed and redeemed in the inner man. See, self-deception doesn't want to see sin. But the Bible says, he who says he has no sin, the truth is not in him. But he also gives us this reassurance that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's why we can change, isn't it, this morning? Because we've got a merciful Saviour and a gracious God who can and does forgive sin, who's willing to forgive sin so that we can become more like him and not be condemned with the world. We'll never overcome sin unless we face up to it. We'll never be forgiven unless we're willing to confess and repent. We'll never change unless we face up to what we are and see ourselves as God actually sees us, not as we imagine ourselves to be. It's dangerous when we begin to harden our hearts or even just neglect seeking God, because we can get comfortable in our Christian life. We can get complacent, and too often we're blind to our own faults. That's why we need to pray, isn't it? We need to sit in God's presence and let him speak to our hearts. Be still and know that I am God, the Bible says. Let God speak to us. Let God search our hearts in those quiet times. Let his word convict us, correct us and change us and examine ourselves as well. And consider the way that we respond and we act towards people. Consider the way we think, the way we view everything in life. Be willing to see when we're in error. Admit when we're wrong. Show some humility. I think most of us, especially men, find it difficult to face up to being wrong. We don't like to admit it when we're wrong, do we? Of course, the wife is always right, even when she's wrong. But no, I mean, the truth is, all of us find it difficult to face up to being wrong. But, you know, when we are wrong, we need to admit to it. I always think of King David. He thought he was right, didn't he? He thought he was good. He had a righteous anger. And when Nathan the prophet came to him, and he told him the story about the poor man who had his little ewe lamb that was taken by the rich man, he became angry and outraged with righteous rage. But then Nathan pointed the finger at him and said, "You are the man." That was a bit of self-realization for David, wasn't it? Oops, it's me he's talking about. But if you notice David's response, he didn't deny it. He didn't try to excuse himself. His response was, "I have sinned against the Lord." And in Psalm 51, we read David's prayer that after he'd sinned over the matter of Bathsheba and getting her husband Uriah killed on the battlefield, and he was humble enough to admit he was wrong. He didn't get rid of all the consequences, but he found forgiveness and grace through Christ. You know, we need to be humble enough to admit when we're wrong. When God shines the light on us and shows us things about ourselves, you know, it's not just to make us feel bad. It's not just to bring us into a condemnation. The one who wants to condemn us is the enemy. When God shows us our faults, he does it so that we can be changed, so that we won't be condemned with the world, so that we can put it right. He shows us the right way to respond. He offers us forgiveness if we're willing. But unless you're willing to change, you're on a dangerous road that leads to self-deception. Galatians 6:6 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load. So here again we see we're called to examine our own work. He who thinks he's something, he says, when he is nothing, deceives himself. We're all too good at thinking we're something when in fact, in reality, we're nothing. The lukewarm church did this. They thought they were rich and had need of nothing. But Jesus said, you are poor, miserable, blind and naked, self-deceived. Let each one examine his own work. Then you will have rejoicing. When you see God working in you, changing you, that we judge ourselves that we would not be judged. Surely it's better to face the judgment of God now in this life, when his mercy is available to us, than facing it in the next life when there is no mercy. God is merciful and gracious. He wants to save us. He wants to redeem us. And if that means us having to be disciplined from time to time, as it tells us in the book of Hebrews, God disciplines those he loves. It tells us at the time it's not pleasant, but afterwards yields that peaceable fruit of righteousness. God wants to purge all the rubbish out of us. He wants us to reflect more and more of his divine nature, his character, his righteousness, his holiness. Be ye holy, for I am holy. To form in us that the image of Jesus Christ. And that's really what God is doing with us on this earth. We're being transformed so that we can reflect Christ's righteousness, so we can come to that place of maturity spiritually, to the fullness of Christ. Being sanctified, being purified, being made holy. We're on that journey, aren't we? And that's a journey of continual change, continual cleansing, continual forgiveness. We need all of God's mercy and grace in our lives. But you know, none of that can happen unless we face what we really are. We have to face up to what the Word of God tells us about our lives. We're called to repentance, not just on the day we got saved, but that's a continual heart attitude towards God. Wanting to be right before God, wanting to please God, wanting to keep a clean heart with God, keep our conscience clear before God. 1 John 1:5 says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. What he's saying here in this scripture, firstly, God is light. There's no darkness in God. So it's not enough for us to say we have fellowship with him, but then for us to carry on in darkness. There has to be change. If we're carrying on walking in darkness, we're just lying, aren't we? We're not practicing the truth. We're deceiving ourselves. We're called to walk in the light because he's in the light. That's when we have fellowship with one another, when we're all walking in the light. The thing that covers the sin in our life is the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. And He makes it clear here that we're not talking about perfection doctrine here, are we? Because
no.
If it tells us, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth isn't in us. But if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not enough, though, for us to say, oh yeah, we're sinful, therefore we're not deceived, we can carry on the way we are. No, we're called to change. We're called to repent. We're called to walk in the light. But we still have to confess our sin and we still have to repent, don't we? I write these things, he said, so that you may not sin. He's not trying to give them an excuse to sin. He's saying, this is so that you won't sin. This isn't a license to sin because you're going to be forgiven. He's saying, I'm writing these things so that you may not sin. But if we do, we've got an advocate in heaven with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, because he's paid the price for us, thank God. Mm-hmm. He's atoned for our sin. The scripture tells us we know him if we keep his commandments. In other words, we do what the word of God says. We're obedient. He who says he abides in him, he says, ought himself also to walk just as he walked. In other words, we walk in our master's footsteps. We're called to become more like Christ. You know, if you're a true believer this morning, your desire should be to be free from sin. There's a big difference between a believer that's struggling with sin and being weak and those that hypocritically and willfully practice in sin with no remorse, who refuse to repent, who just carry on in their ways, not changing. You know, we all struggle with sin, don't we? To some extent. None of us here this morning is without sin. It tells us that in the scripture. We all struggle with sin in our lives. It's a battle, isn't it? But our heart desire, our motive, should be to not sin, to be free from sin. And the good news is we've got a Saviour who can save us from sin. And if we follow those steps that we've already spoken about, judging ourselves, examining ourselves, then we won't be judged. And if things aren't right, we confess our sin. God forgives us. He's paid the price for us. He shed his blood for us. But if we carry on walking in darkness and carry on in sin and evil, then we don't know him. If we say we know him, we'll do what he says, won't we?
Yeah.
We've got to face up to the sin that's in us if we're going to live the Christian life. Thank God that we serve a God who is both merciful and who brings us to our senses. Thank God he doesn't leave us blind to our own faults. Thank God he does intervene and discipline us so that we're not condemned with the world. Thank God he brings our sin to our attention. You know, the most dangerous type of deception is self-deception. We don't want to be down that road. We want to respond when God convicts us. Hebrews 4 and 7 says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. If we keep our heart right before God, we'll respond in the right way. So let's continue to read the word of God, continue to pray, continue to trust in God and see ourselves grow in the grace that is in Jesus Christ and allow the Lord to change us in the inner man. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's pray.